turn into a beautiful princess, and I will be yours for the rest of your days. And he looked at her and said, wow. And he took that frog and stuck it down the bib of his overalls and went on back fishing again. That's kind of weird. And that guy said, hey, I heard what that frog said. Why didn't you kiss her? He said, man, he said, at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog. Amen. 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 Well, sometimes I've been a talking frog. Amen. Mark chapter 5 in your Bible, and we'll start reading there. Let's see, that ain't the exact. Let's start reading down there in verse 22. We'll do that, or 21. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, Father, you know there'll be nothing good done here tonight, Father, if you don't do it. Father, it's already been good to be here. Father, if we had to go home right now, we'd have to say it's been good to be in your house. I pray, dear God, you'd help us to preach tonight, Father. I pray you'd give us the words. I pray you'd give us your power and your touch to preach. Lord, we need you in everything we do, Father, every hour of the day. In Jesus Christ's most precious name, we love you. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you'd have your way in this service. Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And I don't know. I think I'll just head down this road tonight. This is another one of them. It won't be long unless it turns into something else. Bible said, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, y'all know what happened to the little girl. Jesus walked in the room, and, buddy, she began to live. And she came back, and Jairus got his daughter back. She did die, but he got his daughter back when that thing's over with. But when he went to Jesus, and this is worth mentioning, when he went to Jesus there, he said, my little daughter is about to die. And he said, would you come heal her? He said, I know you're the healer. I know you're the helper. I know you're the one that can do it. He said, would you come heal my little daughter? And then Jesus Christ didn't say, I'll come, she'll be healed, that's the end of it. He didn't come say, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it. He didn't say she'll be all right. He didn't say she'd live or die. He didn't say anything. He said, would you come to my little daughter? And the Bible says, and Jesus went with him. My soul, brother and sister, you know what that's worth right there? I've been through some things. I've seen some things. I've been with families through things. I've held their hand through things, through the death of their children, the death of their loved ones. I've seen churches collapse. I've seen marriages collapse. I've seen all those things, and I've seen God go with his people. And brother and sister, when trouble's going to come to everybody, it's good to know that when trouble comes, Jesus will go with you. I mean, whether he fixes it or not, it's good to know that he'll go with you. He said he sent him to preach glad tidings over there and to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you know God can heal the brokenhearted? He can make it like it never happened, amen. He can do that. He can fix a broken heart. That girl you couldn't live without, you know, and just broke your heart so bad, and then you see her 10 years later, and you think, thank God, hallelujah. Thank God I didn't get that one. I mean, man, you feel better than you. Or that guy you just swooned over, you know, and all of a sudden you see him, you know, 15 years later, and all of his teeth fell out from crack and smoking crack and meth and stuff, and you think, my God, I'm glad I didn't get that loser. Well, he can heal it. But that's not what the text said. The text didn't say he sent him to heal the broken heart. But it said he sent him to bind them up. What the Lord will do most of the time, he'll patch you up. He'll bind you up so you can go on down the road, so you can keep serving him. Sometimes God don't heal it. Sometimes he binds you up. I've minded, I may have told you this already, but in the Civil War, a guy was going through, he's hunting enough troops to hold the line. And he couldn't get enough people to hold the line, and he went to that one soldier there, an old Confederate soldier, and he was already shot through the leg, and his arm was bandaged up, wounded up. He said, how about you? What kind of shape are you in? He said, I'm wounded, sir, but still able to fight. And sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes you get wounded, God will just bind you up, wounded, sir, but still able to fight. But it's good to know that Jesus will go with you. And thank God he went with him. Say, what's that got to do with the sermon tonight, Brother Jim? Absolutely nothing. Verse 24 says, Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of the physicians. And boy, you'll do that, you'll suffer at the hands of the physicians. There may be some doctors in here tonight, thank God for you, but I'm telling you what, you'll suffer at the hands of physicians. If nothing else, they'll get all your money. And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thrown thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Ain't that a blessing, brother and sister? That is a blessing right there. She got behind there, and she got a hold of Jesus Christ and got healed of that thing. That issue of blood she had for years got fixed. But you notice right there, she never got a hold of Jesus. She never touched him. The Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. She said she just touched his clothes. All she got was the skirt of his garment when it went by. She never touched him. But she was healed. Well, that's some garment, ain't it? Mark chapter 6 and verse 53 says this. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered in the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Brother, sister, there they go again. They're trying to get a hold of his garment. And I'll tell you something else. Everybody that got a hold of his garment got healed. Most of them, I'm sure, never touched Jesus Christ. That woman never touched Jesus Christ. But she touched his garment, and she was fixed because she touched his garment. I won't preach about that for a few minutes. Boy, that's some garment. Issue of blood, fixed by touching that garment. I like it. Leprosy, healed by touching that garment. Crippled, fixed just by touching a garment. Blind men could see by touching a garment. Those with the palsy, brother, were healed from their trembling by touching that garment. Those that were deaf could hear by touching a garment. Some garment. There was no disease, brother and sister, it couldn't be healed by touching that garment. Most any other days, it was just like any other garment. But on this day, it could cure cancer. What a garment. They say, man, what did he pay for it? I don't know what he paid for it. They say, what brand was it? What difference does it make? It don't make any difference what brand it was. Say, what kind of garment was it? Who cares? You go down there to the thrift store the day before, you can buy one, get one free. They were 50 cents a piece. Buy one, get another just like it. They didn't cost nothing. They weren't worth nothing. That garment was worth nothing. But that day, brother and sister, it could cure anything because he was in it. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight, if I could, on it's really something, amen, when he's in it, amen. That's what made the difference, brother and sister. What made this garment something was because God was in it. I always thought the soldiers would be disappointed when they got it, don't you? I mean, the soldiers down there rolling them bones, you know, to get that garment, you know, Ada from Decatur and all that stuff, trying to get that garment. And I've always thought they was disappointed. They said, yeah, we'll just flip for it. We'll cast lots for it. We'll get this thing. And he said, are you sure that's the one? And the other soldier said, that's the one. Are you sure that's the one? The woman was healed when she touched. That's the one. I was standing right there when she touched it. That's the garment. That's the one. It'll fix them. Then, boy, he won that thing, took that thing home. I've always thought he's disappointed. He got that thing home. Look, man, this ain't nothing. It don't do nothing. Brother said, it can't do anything. He ain't in it no more. What made that garment something was Jesus Christ was in it. The Catholics say they have the Shroud of Turin or Shroud of Turin, however you want to, the burial shroud for Jesus Christ, which it's a bunch of hooey. There ain't nothing to it. But if it was, it wouldn't be worth nothing, and you couldn't do nothing with it because he ain't in it no more. When God's in it, it's something. When God ain't in it, it ain't nothing. If God gets in this preaching, it'll be something. If God gets in your singing, it'll be something. If he don't, it don't amount to nothing. If God gets in this church, it'll be something. Without God in it, it's just a build. But boy, it's something when he's in it. I'll tell you that. Everything changes when he's in it. Thank God, brother. So I want to preach about that for a few minutes. I want to say, number one, there's a manger down in Bethlehem. Say, big deal, Bethlehem, little old city in the back end of nowhere. Well, it was. It wasn't a big town. It wasn't a famous town. Man, I got the bass drum going on tonight, ain't I? Boom, boom. How do y'all get a song leader, man, that's a song leader and a bass drum at the same time? Did y'all hear that? I was wondering every night. I said, where's the drum? I keep hearing that drum. Boom, 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 boom. When he's leading the singing, I thought there's a bass drum somewhere. That's good, brother. Praise God. Manger down there in Bethlehem. Little small manger on the back end of town. Brother, sister, it wasn't much in it. But some hay, some manure, a few old scrubby animals. It really wasn't much of a place. It wasn't anything to look at, brother. Just a little dirty manger back in the back end of nowhere. But that little dirty manger, you know, one night the angels came down and sang about that place. Woo! One night, brother, the shepherds left their flocks to go there. One night stars moved around in heaven to guide people over to Bethlehem. That little old place that was nothing in the back end of nowhere that night, boy, one night it was really something. And the reason it's really something, because God was laying in it one night. And when God's in it, it is something. God's in it, he can make it something. That little thing right there, boy, the angels came down there singing. Kings come down there to give their gifts a couple years later. Because what? God was in it. 2,000 years later, here we are. 2,000 years later. And we still sing about a manger in Bethlehem on the back end of nowhere. Ain't that wild? We still sing about away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Oh, little town, I love that song. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, a silent star goes by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. Woo! One day God was in that manger in Bethlehem, brother and sister, and I'm telling you, when he's in it, it's something. We sing, Mary, did you know your baby boy someday walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy will heal our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy is walk where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? What a song. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, that old manger down there, here we are 2,000 years later, and we still reenact it every Christmas. Y'all do that too? We do that every Christmas. Some churches don't do it. Some churches are so holy, they don't have no fun. They really ain't. I mean, we don't have Christmas trees in church, stuff like that. But man, I like Christmas. You say it's the wrong date. I don't care. At least we got a day. Say it ain't the right day. I don't care. I still want my presents. I like it. And every year, we have a bunch of little devils in our church that dress up like little angels. And we redo that manger scene every year. Man, why? 2,000 years later, why would you still be talking about a manger? Because one night he was in it. Brothers, it's altogether different when he's in it. There was a house in Capernaum where they held church at in Mark chapter 2. And this house was not famous before or after that day. They'd met there many times before. They probably never had over 30 people at one time since the place been meeting there. They never had anybody, just a few people. But Mark chapter 2 says one night it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And brother and sister, that day, that place was full. People came from all over town that night. The choir seemed to have a little extra touch on them. Today, the building was packed. Today, they felt the presence of God, boy. Everybody had that that day. That day, they saw a miracle. They was in the middle of the church service that day, and some fool started breaking up the roof. In the middle of the church service that day, somebody lowered a guy down from the roof and saw him healed of the palsy and get up, take his bed, and walk. That day, brother and sister, they saw something they'd never seen before. Say, what was it? That night, Jesus Christ was in the house. And boy, when he's in the house, it don't make any difference if it's my church or your church. God's in it. It'd be something. I don't care how big it is or how small it is, brother and sister, how poor it is or how rich it is. When Jesus Christ gets in this place, I'm telling you, you can't stop it. It'd really be something when he's in it. any church, brothers and sisters, something. We have a nice church up there in Arkansas. We got nice buildings. God's gave us a lot of nice buildings and things. We got good people. We got some of the best people I've ever been to church with. And they're not all perfect. And it's hard. We're starting revival Monday at our place, and we won't have half of them come out first night. And we got one of the best churches in the country. Man, I'll tell you, we've seen more people saved and lives changed and good singing, fair preaching, amen. And I'm telling you, we got one of the best churches I know. We start revival and half our people will be home. I don't understand that, but that's the way it is. But we got a good church. We got a nice building. Our choir sings well. But brother, sister, what gave us a name up there? And we have a name up there. We have a name. What gave us a name? What brings visitors from out of state? We have people come from out of state everywhere up there. They say, Brother Jim, where can we get the church like this down our place? I said, I don't know. Where can we get a church like this in Little Rock? I don't know. Brother, it's embarrassing sometimes and hurtful too. I don't know where they get a church at. Oh, I worked on the road for several years doing electrical work. The hardest job we had was going to a town finding a church that believed anything. But brother, sister, we got that. People come from all over the place. We have people come to camp from probably 15, 20 different states. They come from everywhere. What makes our choir stand out? And it does stand out sometimes. But what makes it stand out is when Jesus Christ is in the house. And boy, when he's in it, it's good. And when he ain't in it, it ain't worth a quarter. Amen? Our choir, your choir, anybody's choir. Our church, your church, it don't make no difference. If he's not in it, it's not anything. It's not going to amount to nothing. Your life's the same way, brother and sister. Your church is that way. Your home and your marriage is that way. When he's in it, boy, it's really something. And he's in the house. Yours is the same way. There's a little church up at Minnick, Tennessee. You don't know where Minnick is. Nobody knows where Minnick is but me, a couple others. Minnick is a little place back there. You got to drive way back in the hills, and there's nothing back there. There's a place called Booger Holler back there that's supposed to be haunted. And there's a little road that goes into Minnick back there. The trees grow over the road. You go down through there at night, man, the hair on your head stand up. Spooky place. But at the end of that road is a place called Minnick, Tennessee. And back there at Minnick, there's an old church back there. It's almost on the ground now. The front porch is down. The blocks are out from under it. It's rotten and down. It hadn't been taken care of. They hadn't had church there in years. It's just about to fall in. And it ain't a very big church. You look at that thing, you say, boy, that ain't much. That sure ain't much of a church out here in the middle of nowhere. Ain't nobody around. But brother, sister, I know of a night in that church. Oh, 35 years ago, I know a night in that church, brother, 70-something people got saved in that church in one meeting. 70-something people, they came out of those hills, they came out of those hollers, people was getting saved inside the church. They had all the windows up on the side, the little church building was packed, and they had all the windows up on the side, and people were sitting on the grass and in their cars outside to hear the preaching on the outside. God was in the house. Man, they having people saved, having people get right with God. They were shouting, boy, crying, and running up and down the aisles. It was something, boy. It was really something. By looking at that thing today, and you say, man, that ain't much. But, boy, I remember one night, it was really something. It was something to behold. Your church the same way. Y'all got nights right here, right now. You can think about your church when you had revival, when God showed up in the house. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, any church, it could really be something. You go down that old road to Minnick nowadays, and boy, it don't look like much. But boy, I remember one night when God really did business there. He can do that here. He can do that in our place. He can do that anywhere if we'll yield to him. Over in Mark chapter 6 and verse 51, brother and sister, the disciples took a boat ride. Man, I'm telling you, it was a ride. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, in Mark chapter 6, verse 51, that they were having a terrible time up. They got in a terrible storm. Nothing was going right. The storm, the wind, the rain, and the boat was about to sink. They were about to go down. And the Bible says they looked up and saw Jesus Christ and says, and he went unto them into the ship. He walking on the water. And the Bible says they called out and he went up unto them into the ship and said, when he went into the ship, the wind ceased. Just like that. No more bumps, no more slinging around, no more water, no more sinking. When he went up into the ship, said the winds, all of a sudden, brother and sister, the ride was smoother when he was on board. Say, what is that, Brother Jim? In Christ Jesus is in the ship. That's the difference. It's better, brother and sister, when he's on board. It's rough out there today. The world's going crazy. You got bills to pay. You got sickness. You got family trouble. You got divorce. Sometimes it's just overwhelming. But I'll tell you, the ride's a lot smoother if he's in the house. The ride's a lot smoother if he's on board. Boy, I'm telling you, it was the same storm. They were in the same boat. It was the same crew. What made the difference was he is on board now. But when he's on board, things are smooth out. This world's crazy. You'll find your family will go smoother if he's on board. You find out your marriage is better if he's on board. Your life will run better when he's on board. This world out there, this world enough to drive you crazy. They don't even think right. You got all this stuff with Trump and the Democrats and the Republicans and all. They'll drive you crazy. They're making laws now that don't make any sense. Boy, it's smoother through this world when he's on board. I don't even watch the news no more. Man, I read my Bible, I pray, and I preach. That's what we do. I don't watch the news. I hardly ever watch TV anymore. Brother, sister, I'm telling you, that bunch out there, they had a, I've told y'all this probably. If I hadn't, I'll tell you now. Just a few years ago, an O.J. Simpson killed two people. Killed his wife and another guy. Cut the boy's head, almost cut the boy's head clean off. And killed another guy. He did it, and everybody knew he done it. And still the jurors turned him loose. They turned him loose, I guess because he's a racist juror. But they turned him loose. And then you had Tony Blake a little bit later, who Beretta, y'all remember him? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Well, he didn't do the time. He stuck a pistol inside the car and shot his wife in the head and killed her. And they turned him loose. World will drive you crazy. Then about 2 years later, Martha Stewart did some insider trading or something, made a little extra money. They put her in jail for a year. And I thought, my God, they let O.J. go, murderer. They let Tony Blake go. But thank God they got Martha Stewart off the street. Ain't that weird? You never know when she might bust in your house and make a bouquet or something. You think about that, it'll drive you nuts. The world's gone crazy. Put Martha Stewart in jail for a year? She's an old woman. Crazy. Brother, sister, you find out this world goes a lot smoother. When he's on board, boy, it's really be something when he's in it. I tell you, this world right now, it's just crazy for me as it is for you. But boy, I'll tell you what, I enjoy living. I enjoy church. I enjoy my friends, man. I'm going to enjoy my trip to heaven as long as I can. Down here on this earth, I mean, every day, like I said, every day is a holiday. Every day is payday. Man, it's good to be saved. If there was no heaven and there was no hell, this is the best life there is. I mean, I know there is. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. But if there was neither, this is still the best life there is, boy. Get in while you can. It's a lot smoother when Jesus Christ is on board. Let me ask you tonight, why don't you let him on board? For some of it wouldn't be let him on board. It'd be, why don't you let him back on board? He used to be on board. Things used to go a lot better, didn't they? You know, we find out when you serve the Lord, things just go better. Oh, I know you're tried. But boy, things sure go better when Jesus Christ is in the boat, boy. The ride's really something when he's in it. I knew a young man in Tennessee one time. He was a wreck. Long-haired hippie down to here. Long-haired hippie, just like the rest of us was. He was a drunkard. He's a dopehead. He was a thief. He slipped around, do this and that. He wound up in jail up in Union City, Tennessee, man. Wound up there doing time in the slammer up there. Last time I saw him. Long-haired hippie boy in the slammer, last I heard of him. I went off down to school, this and that, and I come back 2 years later, and I looked up, and that same boy was on the street corner preaching and singing. I didn't recognize him. He had his hair cut short, man. He was out there singing, read a book about a man, never went to school. He could tell you more things about life than any man ever knew. He put me on a new highway to heaven. Say, who was Danny Hall? Brother Danny Hall. He was my old buddy. He was our old drinking buddy. He was our old doping buddy. Hadn't seen him in 2 years. Next time I saw him, I said, what happened to Danny Hall? They said, boy, he got saved. He got Jesus all over him. Go and talk to him. He got Jesus all over him. Woo! Say, what's the difference? God was in him that time. Boy, when God's in him, he makes all the difference in the world. Listen, you can be a Christian and still sin. But you cannot be a Christian and nothing change. You cannot. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't buy it. I don't buy people getting saved and nothing changed. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But, I mean, everything may not change overnight, but the process ought to be started. Something ought to change. At least your want to ought to change. Brother Danny changed all over, boy. I'm telling you, what a real blessing. After I got saved, there's a place me and Brother Danny used to frequent. It was a bar called Helen's Place. And Helen's Place was on this corner, and Cross-Eyed Mary's was on the other corner over there. You say, why they call her Cross-Eyed Mary? Because she was cross-eyed. And her name was Mary. She could look at everybody in this room at the same time. But when God saved me, he said, we used to go up there every Friday and Saturday night. He said, you ought to go up there. You ought to go up there and tell them what happened. So, man, I went up there and I parked my car on the corner between Mary's and Helen's place over there. And I got back and bumped my car and I started preaching on the street, telling them what Jesus Christ did. And, son, they come out the door. They wouldn't come outside. They scared to death to come outside. And boys never was scared of me, but that night they scared to death to come outside. But they all poking their head out the door looking. Say, what happened? Something changed. Brother and sister, say, what's the difference, Brother Jim? God was in me then. Brother Danny Hall, he really turned out to be something, boy. All of our kids up there, Brother Gary Lutcher, you know, Brother Gary Lutcher was no count. God saved him, man. He changed him all over. Gary Lutcher's a blessing. He like part of our family now. He real blessed. You know our kids, you know what our kids think about Brother Gary? They think he's really something. You know what they thought about Brother Danny Hall? They'll tell you. You can ask him, oh, Brother Jim, he's something. He's really something. They never knew him when he was nothing. They never knew him when he was wicked. All they know about him is, boy, he's really something. And what you do tonight, boy, you can ask God inside. If you're saved, you can ask him to come back inside. You can ask him, brother and sister, to forgive you and help you step out. And you get your reputation of being something for the Lord. And those little kids look at you. They don't know any of that stuff behind you. They'll never know that stuff behind you. All they'll know is what they've seen God do with you. Boy, they'll think you really something. Little kids in my church, they think Brother Jim's something. Because they don't know what I know. They don't know what's back there like I do. But boy, God will do that. He'll save you. He'll come inside. He'll change you. And boy, your life could really be something when he's in it. Won't you let him back in it? Won't you give him some room? Let him back in there where he used to be. Brother Mike McCarroll's a guy in our church, and man, I'm telling you, he was 330 pounds. He would put his hand through that wall, man. That guy was a bruiser. He put his fist through that wall. He was 330 pounds, just a bruiser. And I went to his funeral. He died suddenly up there after church one night. He was loading up his truck, and his little kid got there and knocked the truck into neutral. And up where we live, it's either uphill or downhill. There ain't no level ground. He knocked that truck in neutral, his grandson did, accidentally, in there playing. And Mike tried to get the door open to get him out of there, and he couldn't get the door open, so he ran around in front of the truck to the other side to try to get that door open. He tripped halfway around. And that truck and trailer ran over him, killed him right there in his yard. Man, that life had killed me. I went to the, I was telling somebody a while ago, I just threw this in. Brothers and sisters, I wouldn't be in this business if it wasn't for God's mercy and his promise. This pastoring is too sad. There's too much broken heart stuff. You see too much sorrow. If it wasn't for the promises of God, I wouldn't be in this 5 minutes. But we do have God's promises, and they're all true. But I went to Mike McCarroll's funeral, and the mayor of Redfield down there where he lived come up and told me. He said, you know Mike a long time? I said, I've known him about 12 years. He said, you didn't know him when he's lost, did you? And I said, no, I didn't. He said when they sent cops out to get him, they would send 8 out at a time to get him, lock him up. He said it'd take 6 or 8 men to put him in the car when he didn't want to go. They said he said one night he shut up our whole police department down here. Come and shot all the windows out of the police department down here. I mean, just a maniac. And he said, Mr. Chandler, he said, I've never seen anybody change like I saw Mike McCarroll change. He said, everybody in town knew when he found Jesus Christ because he said everybody in town saw him change. Say, what's the difference? God was in you. Brother, sister, God, get in your life. He'll do a work in your life. I'm telling you, he'll change you. He'll make you something, boy, the kids will look up to. He'll make you something your wife will be proud of, your husband will be proud of. It's really something when he's in it. I want to say this, and I'll quit here tonight. I rambled on, but I want to give you a few of these things. There's a grave in a garden over in Jerusalem. It wasn't carved out of the rock to be anything special. Matter of fact, if you ever see it, it ain't special. But there's a grave over there in Jerusalem carved out of rock, just a hole in a rock, just one side there of Golgotha. It wasn't really much. It really wasn't anything special, though. But the black preacher said, our rock, which is not like our rock. Our rock, he said, one night was in a rock. He was sitting on or laying on a rock, and the rock rolled away. Amen? Well, he was. One night he was in there. And that grave never was meant to be anything. One night, brother and sister, they sent soldiers down there to guard it. One night, they sent a whole squad of soldiers to guard a grave down the garden in the back end of nowhere. They came to guard the entrance that thing. Why in the world would anybody guard a grave? One night, brother and sister, an angel came down and rolled a stone away from that grave. He didn't roll it away to let Christ out either. He rolled it away to let the people in. God didn't need to get out of there. He could get out of there anytime he wanted to. He says, move, that rock will move. But they rolled it away to let the people in. There's been more books written about that grave than any grave in the world. Nothing even comes close. There's been more messages preached about that grave than any other grave in the world. There have been more songs sung about it, more messages preached, been more talk about that grave than any grave there ever has been. They got that tomb of the unknown soldier. They got Kennedy's grave up there in the eternal flame and all this and that. Nobody even knows what they are. But they know about this grave. Because one night, brother and sister, it's empty. One night they went and he said, the best news this world ever got came out of a graveyard, said he is not here, for he is risen. We sing that old song. Do y'all sing that? I walked by the tomb of Buddha. Y'all sing that too? I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside, saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still dressed up in his grave clothes. But then I turned into a garden. That good right there, amen. Went into that garden and that tomb was empty, amen. There wasn't nobody there. Say, what's that? Brother, sister, that grave special day because one night he was in it, amen. He didn't need it long, but he was in it one night. Those songs said they carried him away and laid him in a lowly grave. Surely they thought this would be the end of this man. Up from the grave he arose. Easter celebrated right now all over the world. All over the world they celebrate Easter. They, what is it? Because one night he was in the grave there. That grave's famous today. I heard one of them Sunday school teachers talking about their kids at church, and she said, I'm quitting. I'm getting out. She said, they don't learn nothing. She said, they don't listen to me. He said, I'll give them another chance. They're getting more than you think they're getting. She said, well, I'm going to ask them this week. If they can't tell me what Easter is, I'm out. And so she said, can anybody tell me the meaning of Easter? One little boy, Johnny, raised his hand. He said, I can. She said, what is it? He said, well, one day. He said, Easter comes, he said, once a year, and that's when we all dress up in outfits and we go get candy, knock on doors and get candy at people's houses. She said, sit down. She said, he didn't learn nothing. So Mary stood up and she said, oh, I know what Easter is. She said, that's when the bunny come and we hunt Easter eggs and we get all kind of toys and things. She said, sit down, Mary. Then little Billy, she said, Billy, last chance. Can you tell me what Easter is? He said, I can, man. Said, it's when they put Jesus in the grave. And said, 3 days later, the stone rolled away and he came out of the grave. She said, praise the Lord. And he said, and if he sees a shadow, he goes back in for 6 weeks. Well, it's almost that bad sometimes. Brother, sister, listen, visitors come from everywhere. I ain't been there yet. Have you been there, Brother Bass? You been there to the grave? I ain't been there. Y'all been there? Any of you guys been to the grave? Yeah. I ain't been there yet. I'd like to go. But Brother Stocker, a friend of mine, he's been there a couple, three times. He said they'd go there. He said some people, when he was there, he said some people just came in and started crying. He said there's still aura about that thing for some reason. But he said some people go in there and they just hit their knees and they start praying. And he said some people go in there, he said, and they just start praising the Lord. And I don't think you're supposed to do that in there, are you? But he said they do anyway. They just start praising the Lord. Say, what is it? Man, it's just a grave. Oh, yeah, but this grave, one night God was in it. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, it's really something when he's in it. It's famous. It's famous place now because one night Jesus Christ was in that grave and he came out. Listen, of your life, it's true. If Jesus Christ is in it, it'll really be something. Say, how much will it be, Brother Jim? Just depend on how much you let him in it. But it'll really be something. Hey, your home could be what it ought to be if you let Jesus Christ in the middle of it. Insist on. Your class down there at church that you teach, your class at school even, could really be something if Jesus Christ was there. Your singing, have a touch of God on it if Jesus Christ is in it. That's what makes the difference. This church right here, you know whether, brothers and sisters, this church will be successful or not? And I think it is. But you know, this church right here will be successful if Jesus Christ is in it, and as long as he's in it, it'll go. It don't make any difference what the people say. As long as he's in it, it'll go. Your church, your home, your life, don't make any difference, brother and sister. Just depend on how much he's in it. It can really be something when Jesus Christ is in it. Let's stand. I'm going to quit right there. Now, I preach a short sermon tonight, so you get out of here plenty of time. But listen, maybe you want to examine yourself for a minute.